Hi guys, this is Mer, and I totally forgot to say this during the recording. But I have one copy of Lily Lanoff's One for All, which is going to be our Spoilers Club book club discussion book this month, April 30th, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to be talking about everything in the book. Everything. Anything people want to talk about? No spoilers are verboten. But I forgot to mention I'm doing a giveaway. So for U.S. people only, because I don't know the rules of every country in the world, if you send me an email with giveaway in the subject line and mention you want the One for All, then I will put you in a drawing and draw next week. So I wanted to talk about, what makes a setting make you feel like you're right there in it with your characters? Today on I Should Be Writing, episode 30. Yeah, episode 30, season 18.
Well, I should be writing. I should be working on my craft. I should.
Yeah, hi there. Welcome to I Should Be Writing. This is a podcast for wannabe fiction writers. I'm your host, Mer Lafferty, and I've been, used to be wannabe one fiction writer, and then I sold some books, and then my audience decided that I was not allowed to say that anymore. So I've been doing this show since 2005. I am the Hydrox to Writing Excuses Oreo. Thought of that this weekend. I'm clever. So, anyway, we stream live on Twitch Tuesday, Thursday, 3 p.m., and then the episode is edited and put up in the podcast feed. That's how it works around here. You can get the whole version if you come hang out with us, or if you support the Patreon, you can get mostly unedited versions of the episodes, including all the chat, all the silliness, and, you know, all the mistakes if I get, like, a call from the vet or an emergency or something. You get that, too. Actually, I think Summer cuts those out of everything. Anyway. Usually start with what we've been up to, and believe it or not, I've been productive. I've had a good 3 days of writing. I didn't hit word count today yet, but I'm going back to it after this podcast. So, yeah, I had 2,600 on Sunday, 2,200 yesterday, I think. So I'm not only hitting my word count, I'm actually exceeding, so I'm making up some of the lost time that I had earlier in this writing thing. Writing's going well. I had to ask my doctor friend today about STIs, including, why are they called STIs now and not STDs? And I'm gonna have to research quantum mechanics, which I'm not looking forward to. Because, yeah, I understand quantum mechanics like I understand the blockchain, which is, I kind of know what's going on, but I don't see how anybody else can get anything out of it. So I don't think I understand it at all very well. But luckily, I'm not putting the blockchain in my book, just quantum mechanics. So that'll probably be easier. Yeah, so I am being productive, and I'm happy about that. Yesterday, I also got 1,500 words on a project I'm doing just for fun. I really, really hope that people liked it, because I don't know how many times I'm going to rewrite something I'm giving away. I sound really, really nice, don't I? People don't really understand quantum mechanics. That's a good point. There's a Connie Willis story that involves, like, love and quantum mechanics, and it's really weird. It's very sweet, but it's weird. I need to I think I need to reread that. And possibly... And then there were N-1 by Sarah Pinsker, which... I'm not sure if that's quantum mechanics so much as the multiverse, but from what we saw of Everything Everywhere All at Once this past weekend, that is quantum mechanic-y. And the weirdest movie I've ever seen, bar none. I will die on that hill. My husband and the friend we were going with is like, what about this one? What about this movie? I'm like, no, this was the weirdest. I'm sorry. It's just, and I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying that whenever something happens that makes you go, I can't believe they did that, I told you first. I told you. Because it's weird. It is the weirdest. And Michelle Yeoh is brilliant. I didn't know Jamie Lee Curtis was in it, and so that was a lovely, lovely surprise. She's brilliant and terrible. Pull a Brandon Sanderson, make the story a fantasy, use the magic system to make physics do whatever you want, explain it away as part of the magic system. Unfortunately, this is book two of a science fiction series, so I can't do any of the things you just suggested. Nope. I can't. I've got real world physics with alien technology, but the quantum mechanics stuff is largely on the humans' part, so... Yeah. But we can talk about good news. My good news is, well, the dog is not as bad off as I worried she was. Doctor said we could drop her off this morning. And so I did, and I had to give permission for them to sedate and do wound care, which I assumed meant all sorts of gross abscess stuff. But no, she's just got an infected toe. She didn't need sedation. She didn't need wound care. So... I'm going to call that good news. So, yeah. Okay is stretching a little bit, but I think she's going to be okay. The problem is she can't... She's gotten past every e-collar, so her foot won't heal because she licks it. Every single e-collar we've tried. Next thing we're going to try is a boot. We're going to put a little boot on her. See how she does with that. Gonna check on good news in the chat. I saw something go through. An ASMR dog snores episode would be nice. Yay for productivity. I'm trying to allow myself just to have fun with my project. Writing is hard sometimes. Yes, it is. But that's a really good way of looking at it. This morning, I had a thought of meshing two ideas together, like I've done with Murder, She Wrote Meets Babylon 5, which is my current story. But I thought, oh, well, then I'm going to need to wait for And Then There Were None to get in the public domain. So I got to go home and look and see when that enters public domain. And I came home. And Then There Were None is already in the public domain. And so my brain's like, yay, let's plot! And I'm like, no, you have a book due! So I wrote down all the things I was thinking about rewriting, and then there were none for a modern world. I love that freaking book. Funny thing is, I just can't tell you who the protagonist is. I don't think it has one. It's a weird book. I mean, Vera is kind of... I think she gets more point of view chapters than anywhere else. But it is an omniscient sort of character because in one of the exciting climactic final chapters, the points of view go from the final people on the island just back and forth. So I don't know. But anyway, I'm probably going to be attempting a rewrite of And Then There Were None this summer. We'll see. See what my agent says. I might do it anyway. Okay. Yes. Daniel Beer's wife is about to graduate with her teaching degree. Just got an offer at the school she's been student teaching. That's excellent. Congratulations, Daniel. That's good news. Excellent. Cosmo Quest is raiding with a party of 20. Oh my goodness. I am way behind then. Welcome, raiders. I am so glad to have you here. I'm sorry that it took me a second to realize you were raiding. Pamela sends her love and says she is off to get some lunch. All of our love to Pamela. We love Pamela. She's wonderful. Pamela is my excellent, excellent friend who answers my astronomy questions. And she was also the one to console me when I worked really hard on the astronomy stuff for my last book, Six Wakes. And the clone stuff was unapologetically hand-waved. Just clone magic. Trust me. And Kirkus Reviews did not like my space science. Didn't say a word about the clone stuff. And I pouted at Pamela, and she told me, yes, it was good. I did okay. So, thank you, Pamela. Thank you for bringing your people here. I'm Mer Lafferty. We are in the middle of a podcast about writing. So we talk about writing and sometimes we talk craft and sometimes we talk about all the emotions that come up and make you stop writing. I was thinking about that this morning and I was just like, wow, if I could just get over myself, turn off the emotions and get work done, I bet I'd write a lot. But I think that's the problem everybody has. So that's what we try to talk about in this show. But we're all glad to have you. So, hope you enjoy yourself, and please, anybody who talks to Pamela, give her my love back. Mom is home from the hospital, yay, but she officially has diabetes. Oh, I'm so sorry, Shards. And yes, as the bot just said, we are having our spoilers club at the end of the month, where we're going to be talking to Lily Lanoff about her book One for All, and it's called Spoilers Club Book Club because we're going to be talking about any aspect of the book you have a question about. All the spoilers you want. We can ask everything. Because usually when I interview people about their books, we don't want to give away because it's spoilers. But this is the Spoilers Club. So that's what's going on there with that. Yeah, so welcome everybody. If you have good news and you're listening later, feel free to email me and put good news in the subject line. I like to hear about your sales. I like to hear about your rejections because rejections mean you're a working writer. And we like to support working writers in this show. Oh, Star and Green, two more rejections for me. Well done. Congrats. Members Ninja, are you on that for me? Numbers Ninja is my fearless moderator. Fearless. One rejection from me today, Gwenega. Congratulations and welcome. That's amazing. Well done. You guys are both working writers. Well done. So, I hesitated to talk about this because I try not to, I mean, I'm an editor. One of the freelance hats I wear is an editor hat, and I don't like to talk about the stories we reject, but I don't like to talk about the stories we're considering. But I read a story today that just got me thinking. Because the story took place in North Carolina, mainly the Raleigh-Durham area. And I'm reading it, and I'm reading about, well, let's just say they got everything right. I didn't check, but I'm pretty sure the writer has lived here at some point. Everything from naming streets to naming very specifically Southern restaurants like Bojangles, and I can't even remember them all. There were a lot. Mentioning, you know, people from different towns in this that are all clustered up together here. So, I mean, I don't know if anybody else is going to matter or sound normal to hear that you've got people from Raleigh and Durham and Cary hanging out, but that's how close these cities are. Just little things like that. And it made me think, like, you know, I need to talk to other people about it, but at least I can say I really enjoyed the setting in this story. So it made me think, like, what did they do right? And how can I do it? Because I will fully admit, sometimes I'm lazy. Sometimes I'll just make up a town. Sometimes I'll make up a suburb outside of Raleigh that would be Holly Springs if I ever went to Holly Springs, but I don't, so I don't really know what Holly Springs is like. I just know people move to Holly Springs because they can afford it and then work in Raleigh. So, I think I also understand that about Apex, but isn't Tree Lobsters in Apex? Anyway, so I was thinking, even if you're making something up, you can make it sound authentic. Because if you make an attempt to get close to something that's well known in a city or a town, and you get it wrong, it's going to make you look really silly. Granted, it'll only make you look silly to the people who know that area, which hopefully is going to be a small percentage, but it'll be really obvious. I want to say it was the movie and book Cape Fear that took place in North Carolina. And it was a Morgan Freeman something. But there's in Chapel Hill, which is, you know, pretty small town, the college hangout place is Franklin Street, and they got that right. But also, there was a place on Franklin Street. I don't think it's there anymore because of the way music stores have gone. But we had a record store, music store, mostly CDs, but also vinyl before vinyl had its big fancy comeback. And it was called School Kids Records. And anybody from UNC Chapel Hill knew about School Kids. Anybody who lived in Chapel Hill knew about School Kids. And when they put it in the book and made the movie, they made School Kids a children's clothing store. And we were all like, "What? Where the hell did that come from? Why would you do a lot of research into School Kids being authentically in Chapel Hill and get it wrong like that?" Which, you know, is another reason why I make up my areas. But I don't think I'm putting as much work into them as what I had seen. Because there are restaurants, like I said, there are restaurants notably in the South, not anywhere else, that are mentioned. There's streets and stuff mentioned. So, starting with real places that you haven't been to. Looking at doing the minimum research. Just look it up on Wikipedia. Look up how big the town is, what notable places are in the town, like universities or the Baseball Hall of Fame. Isn't that like in a small town in Ohio? But things like that. And then you can look at Google Maps. You can look at Google Earth and get a sense of where things are. Like, if you put somebody in, now I can't remember the name of it. Anyway, there's a really big dorm at UNC that is the furthest away from anything in campus. And if you looked at the campus, you could tell that living in that dorm sucked because it was not only far away, but up a hill. And so instead of just someone's walking from Hinton James, that's what it is, the dorm Hinton James, named after the very first person to apply at North Carolina, or maybe very first student. I don't know. I don't think they would have named it after him had he not gotten in. But that's kind of funny. Anyway, so does it give a story more authenticity to say, "I met a friend for lunch," or "My friend was out of breath from walking from freaking Hinton James up to the dining hall, and they were 5 minutes late because they always forget to take into account that they got to walk up a hill for 15 minutes. So little things like that. And I am impatient, and I am lazy sometimes, and I don't want to do this either. But really, the story really made an impression on me, just telling me, like, mentioning where some of the people lived. I know that street. And, you know, you can say, where do college kids rent apartments in Chapel Hill? And just grab a street name. It's not that hard. And the thing is, it's easier now than it has ever been in the history of writing to get this information. So when the excuses come down to, I don't wanna, it gets a little tiring. So if you are trying to write in a made-up place, the same stuff still applies. Think about where everything is in relation to each other. Up a hill, down a hill. Is it on the side of the mountain that gets all the wind? Does it never get weird storms because of a big hill nearby? That's my area. We actually had there was a hurricane that came through here a couple of years ago. And if you watch the hurricane's path, it literally went around us. It had a big circle, like a big C. It just like went around. And we were very baffled at that. I think somebody put a picture of Keanu dodging bullets in The Matrix to show how Durham weathered that storm. But if you're going for somewhere fake, think about what restaurants are there. And you can even, like, I put I made a fake Charlotte bar called Digby Dan's. And, you know, started to think about Dan and what his story and his story for, like, how he decided to make the bar and how the story of his bar and his history and anything notable happened in that bar, etc. And I don't even have to put this in my book, but I started thinking about Digby Dan's and to see what would happen. So, restaurants, hangout places, topological things. Is it on a fault line? I did not know that North Carolina is actually on a fault line. It just, we don't get a lot of earthquakes. Apparently, I think we've gotten one or two that I remembered, but never felt. So, I know one was in the mountains and one was, well, I remember my husband texting me, earthquake. And I thought he was responding to something else because I did not realize he was actually feeling it, which I didn't. And I'm fairly close, but anyway. All of that makes information about a setting more interesting, more authentic, and makes people feel like they're there. Because if you get the sense of what the people are feeling when they're there, your mind starts to fill in little blanks that they wouldn't be able to otherwise when you give that much information. It's the whole iceberg thing. You only have to give a certain amount of information for the reader to like fill in all the rest. And it's usually that people talk about the iceberg thing about the amount you research versus the amount you actually put on the book page. But, and that's true too. But really, if you give somebody like three pieces of information, they'll fill in seven on their own. They won't even realize they're doing it. I'm planning a story set in alternate reality Christchurch where the quake never happened. Wow, it's funny, you don't see a lot of alternate histories that are based on weather, do you? Or natural occurrences, I guess earthquakes aren't weather, but, you know, instead of who won the Civil War, who won World War II, it's, you know, did New Orleans dodge Hurricane Katrina, or did Christchurch not have the earthquake? Yeah, that's really interesting. Using sense is a big component for me to live in a book. That's a really good point. I think it was Stephen Barnes told me to basically put some sort of sensory thing on every page of your book. Something. Preferably better than sight or hearing. Well, it's going to have vampires and werewolves, so I wouldn't exactly call it alternate history. Hey, you do you, Beer Cat. Put in whatever you want. I'm just saying that I hadn't thought of that angle before. It's really interesting. I like it. Shale says, how do you balance using copyrighted trademark names of locations with making your settings authentic? I honestly don't know. I am not a copyright lawyer. There's a weird split between something that is considered like a shared experience in the public. For example, celebrities don't have as many privacy rights as normal citizens, because the fact that they're well known means that, I don't even know what the legal reasoning is behind it, but apparently if you're living your life in the public eye, then the public can talk about you as if you're in the public eye. You know, you can put Brad Pitt in your book as Brad Pitt. And he can sue you, and he might, because he has a lot of money and you probably don't have as much as he does, but he really can't win anything about that because he's a public person. They might be giants did a song called NyQuil Driver, but and the lyrics are, hey NyQuil Driver, it's NyQuil driving time. But the name of the song is AKA Driver, because they couldn't put NyQuil in the title. So I think when you're talking about places like Bojangles or School Kids, you can put them in there. That's in the setting. If you're going to say, I don't know, I am not a copyright lawyer. I feel the need to say that a couple of times. I wonder if any Kids Are Asleep probably knows if there's writing the other or any of the, or Cat Rambo maybe has, that sounds like the kind of workshops they would give. Or Preemie might know, but I haven't seen Preemie here. Whenever I set a story in San Francisco, I renamed the Bay Bridge to the Emperor Norton Bridge. Well, that's just common sense under Pope. That's awesome. Corporations are an interesting thing. I've seen people make up social media names, but I've seen them use actual names in others, like Facebook and YouTube. Makes me wonder why some change them and some don't. I don't know. My editor said to take place names out and wondered if there were guidelines. Okay. Marguerite did a panel on that for Flights of Foundry. Interesting. I suppose I could ask my friend who's a lawyer. Hope she's not watching. But anyway. Yeah, I'm really interested to see. Maybe I'll have Marguerite on to talk about that. So yeah, I think I might ask Marguerite if she wants to come on, because I think that's a really good question, Shale, and I don't want to give the wrong advice. But you know, it's like trademarks and copyright are different. I'm not saying you don't know that. I'm just saying it's interesting. Googling instead of searching is, you know, people often do that. Xeroxing something instead of copying it was something for a big time, for Kleenex instead of face tissue. It's like people have to work hard to protect their trademark, because if you get to be known as the ubiquitous thing, that's actually bad for your business. So it's, yeah. A lot of places will have laptops with pears or turtles or another sort of thing. But then you've got product placement. you know, they want people to pay for their image to be on the big screen. So they're not going to give Apple free advertising. So if you see an Apple MacBook in a movie, you can probably guess they paid for that, because almost every other person has a pair or some other image. So yeah, using the trademark stuff and the copyrighted stuff is all, it's a little weird. So yeah, I'm going to write down, bring Marguerite on board. Thank you for that question, Shale. So yeah, I think I'm going to end the podcast here. We're going to end the podcast on the feed, and we'll keep talking live for a little while longer. If you'd like to hang out with us and talk live, we're here Tuesday, Thursday, twitch.tv/mightymur, 3 o'clock Eastern Time. I could have said that in a clearer way, but you'll find the information in the show notes. And you can contribute to the discussion. And if you support at Patreon, patreon.com/mightymur, then you can listen to the whole thing. I do want to say that I have revamped a lot of my Patreon levels. I've added 2, and I've just changed some stuff around. If I Should Be Writing has meant something to you, or helped you with your career, or just helped you in your writing, could you tell a friend? Because I don't ask for that very often. And I realize I probably should. So telling a friend or giving a review would really make a big difference for me, and I would appreciate it. So yeah, to find me online, that's murverse.com. And you can find the podcast and all the other stuff I do, where you can also pre-order Station Eternity coming out in October. It's Murder, She Wrote on Babylon 5. And yeah, I'll see you Thursday, where we'll come back here live again to talk, and then we will hang out and talk more. That made a lot of sense in my head. But until then, you should be writing. I Should Be Writing is available to you under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Theme music by John Anilio. Art by Numbers Ninja. Production by Summer Brooks, and hosting by Libsyn. Find all of this information and more at murverse.com. And remember, we can't do this without you. Thanks for your support. Well, I should be writing. I should be working on my craft. I should be writing. Submitting my next draft, but I'm sitting home watching the Doctor Who. Yeah, I'm sitting home watching Doctor Who.